Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of Michelle Minutes. It's Monica Michelle tuning in here to tell you some more of her story. So, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. Well, let me tell you where to find me, and then I'll tell you who I am because it leads to why we are here today. So, I'm Monica Michelle. You can find me at Monica Michelle S. on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Periscope, and all that jazz. And so who am I and what do I do? Basically, I love doing marketing. I've been doing it for a while now. I was doing it as a kid, didn't even know it was called marketing. And so in the midst of that, one thing that I've learned that is so important is that we all need community. And with us needing community, we sharpen each other. We build each other up. We can learn from your stories. And as you're going through your struggle, then we can help encourage you along and vice versa. When it's my turn to go through whatever that is, then you can relate. We can build together. And that's kind of how this started. After doing marketing for quite a few brands and small businesses and even working with nonprofits and entrepreneurs, focusing in on their internal marketing as well as their external marketing, I've also done some marketing with governments or towns, cities and things like that. And one thing that I've realized is that we all need community. And so we have a series going on right now. It's called Her Story. And we are coming in once a week, some Tuesdays at noon East Coast time and some Thursdays at about 6:30 East Coast time. And we're speaking with different women that are in business, all walks of life. From just started my business yesterday to I've been in business for a long time to I'm married to I'm single to I'm divorced, whatever the case may be, we all have something that we can learn from each other. And so these women have agreed to join with me and have this 30-minute conversation to talk about their objections that they had to go through to get their business started or to talk about the objections that they're going through in the middle of their business being ran, things that they've just had to figure out. And some people call them objections. I like to call them opportunities because when you get a no or you get something that's telling you, no, you can't go this way, you can't do it, it's just an opportunity to for you to figure out a different approach, an opportunity to grow and to stretch and to learn more about yourself and learn about more of your craft. So today, without further ado, we have Ellie joining us, and she is going to be telling us a little bit about why she started Ellie Girl Creations. So let me see if Ellie Ann Dote is here. Let's see.
Yes,
can you hear me?
I am. Yes,
awesome,
can you hear me?
Awesome. Yes, loud and clear. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad you were able to join me early this morning because you're on the West Coast, right?
I'm out in California, but not on the beach, like 3 hours from the beach.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, but you're in California, but not that close to the water. Well, I appreciate you waking
right
up and taking some time to join us first thing this morning on your side of the world or the United States. Before we jump into it, please, please, please tell us where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on my website, elliegirlcreations.com. I'm also on Facebook at Ellie Girl Creations, all one word, same as Instagram. So that's where I usually end up hanging out on Facebook, though.
Fabulous, fabulous. Sounds good. So please do tell us, what made you start Ellie Girl Creations? How did that come about?
Well, Ellie Girl Creations just kind of fell into my lap. It was an interesting time in my life. About November, December of 2016, I came down with a really bad illness. And in fact, we weren't certain if I was going to make it through or not. And I ended up having to leave my job, which is I was working as a full-time website designer and graphic designer for a company here in town. And as I started recovering, I started getting calls from people that I had done work for before that asked if I was still available for work. And I started picking up side jobs here and there. And so, as that started taking off, I just decided, you know, I better do this legally. So I went and got a business license. And it was funny because I totally went into it thinking, yeah, I'm just going to get the business license. So that way when these jobs come in, then I'll have a legal way to do this and collect the money. Right. And once I got that license, it was like I couldn't stop, and I just caught the entrepreneurial bug, and yeah, that's where that started. So
awesome. I mean, that definitely sounds great. I'm sorry to hear that you were sick, but it seems as if there was a little bit of a silver lining to the cloud. I'm glad to hear you.
There
better.
Was and. Yeah, and I totally look back now and go, you know, I think I needed that. I think that was kind of the catalyst for a lot of change in my life. And so the business being one of them, and I just kind of needed that little push, because otherwise I would have been happy just chugging along, being like nobody, and, well, not happy, but continuing on, just going through life without any real meaning. So.
Mm-hmm. So in the midst of you having your own business, it sounds like you have more sense of purpose, that be self to say, or more meaning to life. Is that a safe way of putting it, or?
It's been an interesting change. There were several times when I wanted to really, I had a tendency to really, really care about my clients when I was working for the company. And in fact, it ended up kind of getting me in trouble because I was spending so much time just trying to figure out how to best take care of them.
Yep.
And, and now I just, now I'm free to kind of do it in the way that I feel led to do business. And that is by caring about my clients, getting involved in their stories, and encouraging them not only by doing their design work, but by just encouraging them in business.
It's funny that you said that, because I put up a post, I think it was on Friday, and it's a man, and he's kind of going down these steps. And as he's going down the steps, he's wearing this bright green suit, and he's kind of dancing his way down. And I remember when I saw the little clip, I was like, that's how I felt when I quit my job. Because when I was at work, I wanted to, like, he just seemed so carefree and light. He's just like, yes. And so I was like, when I was at work, I felt like the company was more about, and I put all this in the post, but it seemed like the company was more about their bottom line and making sure they were good. And if it messed up the customer, oh, well, these are our rules and we're worrying about us.
Yeah.
And the customer could just go somewhere else.
That was my frustration. That was my frustration when I was working there, and it had gotten to the point where I was being told, no, we're just purchasing this template, and you need to make whatever you want to do fit into this template with
fit
the least
template.
Amount of time. And and that's not where I was at. So.
Yeah, it's crazy that, and I get we're in business to make money and to turn a profit, but at the same time, there's a place of, there should be a happy median of us being able to make money and generate a profit, but at the same time, not give our customer the short end of the stick, not give them our best.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from on that. What are some of the obstacles or opportunities that you've had to face since you've been in business for about a year and a half now?
Well, overcoming my illness was the catalyst for a lot of change in my life. In fact, the illness had me forced me to come face to face with a lot of my life choices and a lot of the things that made me who I was. And I had to really ask myself the question, who am I? And it ended up, after just a long amount of discussion and study and trying to figure out, goodness, is there any other way possible? I had to come to terms with that. I was struggling with my gender identity. And so I was not born as Ellie. That was a, that actually ended up happening. And I am so, so sorry if you hear that train. It's usually nice and quiet out here.
they do what they want to do. You're fine.
This train is just deciding that it's going to barrel down through this track that I never see used. I was not born as Ellie. That was something I had to come to terms with back in, it began about January, February, April of last year. And so I started conversations about it with my wife in January. And then started publicly transitioning in about April, around the same time I decided that I was going to start my business.
Wow.
And so at that time I was like, okay, well, I'm going to jump right in and do this because, you know, if I'm going to start my business, then I am going to, I don't want to fill out the paperwork twice. So I ended up pushing all of that through, and oh my goodness, I am so sorry. And so I decided to just go ahead and push all of that through, and that's kind of that's where all of that started. And so having to overcome that obstacle was a huge one. It continues to be. And I am in the process of recording a video right now, kind of letting people know that this is who I am, because I had to realize over the last couple of weeks that it was becoming a barrier to my own ability to communicate with my clients. I didn't want to be publicly, I don't know what's that word, just out about it. I wanted to just kind of continue on and just be myself, but I was so self-conscious of who I was and how I was presenting myself that it became a barrier, and I am in the process of trying to work through that and needing to push that away. So I think that right now has been the biggest obstacle I have had to overcome is just myself, feeling like I am like me transitioning and going through this gender change is a reason why people wouldn't want to work with me. And luckily I have surrounded myself with some amazing, amazing women and who have encouraged me and continue to push me on. And, I'm excited to see where things go.
Cool. I mean, but the crazy thing about it is even though you've transitioned and, you know, you've made the change with your gender, and that was it's kind of like a mindset thing that you had to overcome to make sure you weren't projecting this onto people when you were talking about doing business. Well, everyone has a mindset, something of their own that they're trying to overcome, you know, overcoming the objection of me. My biggest enemy is in me. And so, granted, yours was that, but for someone else, it might be weight or it might be race or it might be I'm just not skilled enough or I'm just new because I just started designing websites yesterday. You know what I mean? So, like, we all have something mindset-wise that we have to kind of, like, position ourselves or to get over our own mindset, because at the end of the day, if someone doesn't want to do business with me because of whatever reason, okay, you're just not the client for me. I don't care.
And that is actually Yeah, it's an interesting place to be, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because I, as much as I struggled with it, I am more free now. I was very reserved as a male. I didn't like being around people. I didn't like talking to people, and as I've had to understand my journey, my story, and how all of that works, that's kind of the direction that my business took. Is that, you know, identity is important, and when we don't have that just in place, especially when we're starting out in business, then we're apt to, just like I tried for 4 years to live up to what everybody else wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And it nearly killed me. And the temptation is so much greater in business. We have business people that tell us, no, you shouldn't run your business like that. We have clients right. that say, you should do this, you should do that. We have customer service, the reviews that come in and tell us, I was disappointed in this or that or the other, or I wish that they would provide this service or that service. And pretty soon, if you follow all of those and try to be everything for everybody without defining yourself, then you end up looking back 10 years down the line going, oh my goodness, where have I become? What have I become? Mm-hmm. Where, why did I start this thing? I don't even like it now. And I don't know how it is. You're out in New York?
North Carolina.
I don't know how. I've never been out there, and so I'm not sure how this works on your side of the U.S., but I used to go to the beach when I was a kid. And I used to play in the water, and I remember when I was little, we would go in the water and, like, start getting so involved in playing. Like, half an hour later, I would look up and go, we have drifted, like, a mile down the beach.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what I feel called to do, is that to be that voice that says, look up and see where you are. And you have to make that decision then of, do I stay with where I am and adjust myself, or do I work my way back to where I need to be? But either way, we have to look up and we have to realize who we are.
Right.
Because otherwise we just get pulled so easily by the different currents and different states that try to distract us.
And that's crazy. I remember hearing someone, it's a saying that someone, I heard someone say, and they said, whatever goal you set, or whatever, if you set a goal or you don't set a goal, you'll hit it every time. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, when you figure out who you are, whether it be you as an individual or whether it be you as a business, once you figure out your identity, what do you want to focus on, what are you trying to accomplish, and who you're trying to connect with, and then you go out and you start displaying that for the world, kind of like, you know, your adolescent years and your toddler years and everything when you were a child. Mm-hmm. And then as you become an adult, then you start to be able to show that to the world. And those core values that you set up for your business in the beginning, they should stick and they should stay. Now, at the same time, like you said, life happens. The flow, the currents take you here and there, and all these. And whether you decide to change them altogether and take a pause and say, okay, let me recenter and restructure everything and relaunch, or it's, no, I need to realign and get back to my original core goals and core values. It's something that every business needs to do. And I find with the marketing that I've done that a lot of times people won't, I hate to say won't, but I guess it's more of a don't, take the time to, in the beginning or at some point, sit down and say, okay, this is who I want to service and this is what I'm offering and this is why, and, you know, all those core values, if you will. This is the whole.
Yeah.
This is why we do what we do. It's important
being,
because who you're at.
And being able to communicate that effectively to your
yep.
team or whoever, like as you grow, is so important. Because if you don't have
mm-hmm.
that instilled in yourself, you're not able to instill that in your team. And if your team doesn't understand it, then you end up with, I don't know, I grew up, my first job out of high school was working for Disneyland. And at the time when I was working there. Well, it's funny because at that point in time you grew up in Orange County and you're like, well, do I work for McDonald's or do I go to work for Disneyland?
Right.
No, yeah, you know, so it's one of those things where when you grow up down there, it's kind of like that rite of passage job.
Right.
But I remember going through there and we went through the traditions class and they told us all about this sort of, the values of that Ted instilled in Disneyland and in building Disneyland, the vision and the dream for it. And at that point in time, the company went through a pretty big shift and the
mm-hmm.
people that were put in charge lost that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a lot of change. And it's still something that the company struggles with today is getting over that. That was the Michael Eisner years. And everything
mm-hmm.
became about bottom line and profit rather than guest
mm-hmm.
experience. And it just really drives home that point to me of, you know, when we lose focus on those core values, then it's so easy to be pulled away. And then everybody
yeah.
knows it.
Yeah, that's one thing that I love looking at the story of people, but I also like looking at the story of business, big businesses. How they, 'cause
mm-hmm.
I remember I read a book and it talked about how Disney made this shift because after Walt passed, how it made this shift and how things kind of was a little funky and they had to try to get back on track. But another business that
mm-hmm.
kind of went through something like that was Starbucks. When the CEO,
mm-hmm.
the guy who founded, I say his name wrong every time, so I'm not going to try. But when he left the company, he was like, okay, it's time for me to step down. I founded it. This has been up and running. We have a wonderful model. All is well with the world. When he left, the next guy that came in shifted, and even Apple kind of went through that same thing when
mm-hmm.
when his name escapes me, and that's crazy.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, when Jobs left. And so it goes through the shift because the identity isn't kind of ingrained or nailed down. And
yeah.
the understanding the importance behind keeping the identity. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she's starting a business of kid entrepreneurs, teaching kids to do entrepreneur stuff and how to set up their business. And she was saying she doesn't want to do the teaching to the kids on a regular basis, even though she loves it. But she wants to focus more on the training. But as people come in that she wants to teach the kids, she wants to train them to make sure they understand her heart.
Yeah.
And that's something that is so important, to understand who you are as a person and who you are as a business before you launch yourself.
Definitely.
You know, to the mass public. Yeah. So that's certainly on how that's worked for you.
And knowing your story
ahead.
is such a huge, huge portion of that. Being able to communicate your story is such a huge, huge portion of that. That's the direction that my company has taken, is we put a lot of value in story. And we tell
uh-huh.
people, when you hire a marketing agency, when you hire somebody to do your design or whatever, it needs to communicate your story. So you need
uh-huh.
to know what your story is first, because if you can't communicate it effectively, you can't expect whoever you hire
right.
to communicate that. So the danger is that when you hire a marketing agency or a designer that decides that they have their own agenda. I don't know
uh-huh.
whether it might be we want to win an award with this ad, or we want to we've seen these trends and we want to do this and that and the other, and you end up with things like I don't know, that Pepsi commercial is one huge example. And all the controversy that it brought, and then trying to remember who exactly it was. Is it Jenner?
Yeah, it was one of the Jenner girls.
And it felt to me, looking at it from a marketing perspective, that the marketer came in and said, no, I have my own agenda. I have my own story I want to tell because I want this to add to my portfolio, or I want this to I want to tell a different story. And when companies don't embrace their story, then you end up with stuff like that, and you end up with people walking away or confused or upset because you don't have that story behind it.
Wow, that's awesome, because what you've essentially said is, and it rings so true to me, is when you don't set a story for yourself or your business, someone else will assign a story to it. And what they assign to it is you're dealing with 50 plus someone else's. And so if they all assign their own story to you or your business, then in return what happens is you're stuck because you'll never be able to please them all, like we were saying in the beginning.
Yeah.
And what they're assigning to you isn't something that you're wanting or you're accepting or even fully aware of what it is. So the expectations will be off, and it's just a disaster across the board, and you're unhappy. So why even go that route? So I have a question for you.
Okay.
If someone has not, let's say they've been in business for a minute, or they've already launched, or they just started, I don't know, last month or something, and they have not set down to understand their story or their why, then or maybe they have sat down and they just can't figure it out. What do you suggest for them? How do you suggest someone go through the motions to get to the point of understanding their why? Should they not be in business? Should they just say, you know what, I can't figure my why out, let me just quit business? Or, like, what do you suggest?
Well, I always tell my clients to picture this, that they are put into a witness protection program. Maybe they, I don't know what got them there, but that's where you are. You're offered $1 million and the chance to start completely over again with a brand new identity. You can't take anything with you. What do you do? Do you continue doing what it is that you're doing now? You have the ability to be anybody you want to be.
Right.
What is it that you go after? And those are your dreams. Those are the things that make you want to do what you do. And that's that wake-up call of, where am I now? Have I drifted really far off that course? Or am I right where I need to be? And then we are left with that choice. Which way do we go? Do I adjust myself to be who I am now? Or do I work at becoming who I've always dreamed of being?
Wow.
Nothing's impossible, but we have that. We need to get back to, what is our dream? What is that thing inside of us that we want to wake up in the morning and go, yes, this is what I was created to do, and this is what I am so passionate about that I need to accomplish this in my lifetime?
That's good. I've never heard of anyone describing it that way, or putting in, you know, trying to figure that out. Because if someone says you're about to go in, you know, witness protection, and you could be anybody and do anything, then what do you want to do? And you watch it on, at least I watch it on TV, and sometimes the person's like, well, I can't let this part of me go. And it's like, well, no, you have to let it all go. You have to start all over. And so those things that you hold close or dear to your heart, that you're like, I can't let this go. What do you mean? I love doing this. So those are the things that I kind of help your story, and that's an awesome way of putting that. Thank you. We certainly appreciate that. So our time almost up. 30 minutes flies by, and so
I have
one final question for you.
Okay.
So what is something that you would like to share with our audience that every entrepreneur needs to know? I know we've been talking a lot about your story and identity, but is there any one thing? What's the one takeaway for, or that you would like to give away for this, to end the wrap us up?
I would say that you need to understand and grasp a hold of who you are. that is the biggest, when we allow others to define us, when we allow other businesses, other things to come in and say, no, this is who you need to be, then that destroys us. That kills us. Mm. Yeah, it's the biggest thing is to understand who you are and stick to that. We build brands around that because then your brand becomes a reminder of every day when you look at it, that is my purpose. That is what I'm called to do. And that is, in essence, my passion. And if we start to drift from that, your logo, your brand really pulls you back and reminds you, no, this is our foundation. This is where we need to be.
Right.
So really define that, really work on that and understand who you are, because people will come along and tell you otherwise, tell you, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that, or that won't work. Or, you know, I don't know if I would trust a transgender woman in business, you know, there's all these
right.
different things that come in and tell you, you can't. Define who you are and know that you can.
That's good. Define who you are and know that you can. Well, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this morning by the train side. Would you be so kind to let everyone know again where to find you? And thanks again.
Definitely. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I am at elliegirlcreations.com. I am also on Facebook at Ellie Girl Creations and Instagram at Ellie Girl Creations.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks so much for sharing the story about identity and how important it is to know who you are and know your story and how it relates with your business, and sharing some of your obstacles or opportunities with us. We definitely appreciate it. For those out there that are listening, thanks so much for joining in. Again, my name is Monica Michelle. I am signing off today with Ellie and Dope. And you can find me anywhere at Monica Michelle S. And that's Michelle with two L's. So thanks so much for joining us and taking the time to listen. Hopefully this was encouraging and it shared some information and some details with you. We will continue this conversation in our Facebook group. If you click the link in my bio, you should be able to get over to it, and we all can chat more about it there. Thanks so much, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.